This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about the State Bar of California. Again, we did that last week with the new State Bar President, Luis Rodriguez. We're going to be talking about consumer protection, and it's my pleasure to have three very significant persons on the program with me. Two former State Bar Presidents, Jeffrey Bleich, State Bar President from 2007 to 2008, and you might be interested in this. He was the United States Ambassador to Australia from 2009 until earlier this year. He is now retired. And I told Jeff just a few minutes ago, and everyone, don't think I'm trying to brag, but my great-grandfather was the Prime Minister of Australia. His name was Billy Hughes. My other guest, who is a former State Bar President, is James Heiting. He was State Bar President from 2005 to 2006. And my third guest, I think all of you know her by name, Alice O'Sullivan. She's the former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. She's now a member of the Council of Past Chairs of the Board of Legal Specialization. She is a mediator and judge pro tem, and I welcome the three of you. Let me give a little funding credit here so that I do what I'm supposed to do. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies 11 fields of law. And because I want to take the time to talk with my guests, I'm not going to list all 11. I just want to tell you that if you are looking for a certified specialist, wherever you are in the state of California, if you call the statewide number, and I'll give that to you in just a moment, you will find out who the certified specialists are in the area that you're having the problem with. Geographically, you'll find that out. And the number that you might want to jot down is 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. Jeff and Jim, welcome.
Thank you.
Alice is with me in the studio.
Hello, Chuck.
You know what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, and I don't want to, the audience wants to listen to you, not to me. I know you are, the three of you are very concerned about increased access to justice, increased access to the courts. We're having a problem. In my county, San Mateo County, in the last couple of years or so, we lost 28 clerks in the last few months of six commissioners. Now, that a commissioner is not a judge, but very close to being a judge. Out of the six, we lost four. I know San Francisco Superior Court has lost a lot of people. What thoughts do you have? And if you don't mind, because psychologically, if you don't say your first name, the audience is going to be thinking, well, which one of the State Bar Presidents is talking, and they're going to miss what you say. So if you don't mind, Jeff, when you talk, say, this is Jeff, or Jim, when you talk, say, this is Jim. Now, Alice doesn't have to say her first name. I think she can get away without doing that. But go ahead.
Okay, this is Jim. I probably should say this is Jeff because of some of the things I might say. But
well, that's all right. Whatever name you want to use, go ahead.
Right. Well, I think that we really strongly believe that in the access to justice should be improved in every aspect of the courts and of our justice system. But, you know, the budget problems that we've had over the last several years and the cutting back in the court's budget, I mean, it's been hundreds of millions of dollars that have been cut, and the courts have been struggling with the, as you indicated, staff cuts and then courtroom cuts, cuts in the number of judges that are available for different counties and different courtrooms. And so I think our access to justice has really suffered as a result of that. This year we have, due to the efforts of our and the Bench Bar Coalition and other people who have lobbied the legislature, that we have now gotten a renewed $63 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but when you cut it through all of those counties and all of the courts, and you see that the courts have now depleted all of their reserves and they're running on a shoestring budget in each and every court, the $63 million is so you talk about removing hundreds of millions of dollars, and then you increase the you restore the $63 million. It's just barely a drop in the bucket. But that is a positive sign, and we're hopeful that it will foretell the future as far as increases being reinvigorated with the legislators.
Jeff, I know that you have, in the last 4 years, been very much involved as the United States ambassador to Australia, and therefore have not been, as I understand it, that much involved with current issues. What thoughts do you have, however, on access to the courts and justice? Jeff? All right, we lost Jeff. If we can call him back, please. Are you still there, Jim?
I'm still here.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost Jeff. I don't know what happened there, but hopefully we'll get him back. Let me ask you this. You know, we have, with the new law school graduates who also passed the bar, the state bar exam, and are sworn in as lawyers, we have a lot of young lawyers who have been admitted to the state bar, and there are not enough jobs to go around. Do you have some thoughts on what perhaps the state bar might try to do, either in terms of proposing legislation to our legislature or whatever, to try to get these unemployed attorneys who may be waiting table or heaven knows what they're doing, but they're not practicing law because there aren't the jobs. Do you have some suggestions that might help with using the education and the fact that these people are attorneys who have been sworn in as members of the bar, that they might be helping the public in some way?
This is Jim. I guess Jeff, I don't know when Jeff will get back on, hopefully soon. I think our opinions differ in a way in this regard because it spills into so many different topics. But one of the things that the state bar has been considering is the permission or the licensure of people not lawyers to do certain things that are that would currently be restricted to the practice of law.
You're talking about like paralegals, for example?
Right, paralegals doing certain jobs that lawyers would typically do now. And the idea I have about that is that the state bar, I think, should be focusing in on helping the lawyers that aren't working, whether they're new lawyers or very experienced lawyers or elder lawyers that have retired from practice as an active practice, to move into those areas of need where the public needs counsel, needs forms to be filled out, needs help with the courtroom appearances, and to encourage a body to form to connect those people in need with those lawyers who would be willing to work for reduced fees for a fee that is practical to the public and practical to those people in need. And so my feeling is that we don't need those separate licensures or lesser licensures for the practice, but rather we need to encourage the lawyers that are out there already that are unemployed or looking for some way of making an income to fill that void and to move into that. I think that the public would be well served by it. I think that they would be better served than if we had a paralegal program.
What do you think? Jeff, are you back?
Yeah, I am back. Sorry, we got cut off there.
That's okay. I hope that wasn't your wife getting angry at you, was it?
Oh, no, she'd have to get in line with the other people. Angry at me.
There's a long line there, huh? What do you think, Jeff? I know we lost you for just a few minutes, but what do you think about the idea of trying to have the state bar do some kind of program to get either new lawyers who are unemployed or, let's say, older lawyers who are perhaps semi-retired to become available to the public who can't afford attorneys at $250 an hour or $300 an hour or more, to try to help the public? What thoughts do you have about this?
Well, you know, the greatest unmet need for lawyers in California and actually around the country is for people doing landlord-tenant work,
yeah,
for doing family law, yeah, and for doing consumer credit cases. Those are those are the ones where you typically see people representing themselves because they can't find a lawyer and they can't afford a lawyer. And we do a lot to encourage people to go into these fields, and lawyers who are unemployed know that there's a need, but it is, you know, it is hard work. It's not particularly lucrative in most cases, and a lot of lawyers who have, you know, incurred the bills that you get, and tuition bills and others, and paying their bar dues, just don't see that as a viable area for specialty. Mm-hmm. And if they take on those cases, they may not be very good at it because they're only doing it to pay the bills. It's not something that they focused on as a lawyer.
Well, this
I think the better approach, like Jim, you know, we're both trying to accomplish the same thing, which is, you know, greater representation and greater access. I think the better approach is not having paralegals do this, but create licenses just for work in some of these underserved areas where you wouldn't have to get a 3-year degree. You could focus just on that subject. You could become an expert in it. People would have a lot of confidence in your abilities, and I think you would probably have a much stronger practice, and you could charge less but have many more clients so that ultimately you end up making a decent living. I think that's true in those three areas as well as others, including immigration law, which is another heavily underserved area.
Jeff, has that idea ever been significantly proposed to the Board of Trustees of the State Bar?
You know, I put it in my my column and in my proposals when I was a State Bar president. I don't think that it's gotten a lot of traction because it's just like anything else. You know, the medical profession tends to favor, you know, only having doctors perform mm-hmm. Any kind of medical procedure. But mm-hmm. as we've seen over time, they've adapted, and now, you know, you'll never have a doctor give you a shot. It'll always be a nurse practitioner.
Well, yes,
and true. There are a number of things
that's
that
true.
Are medical procedures where you find yeah. there are people who are, in some cases, better suited to it because that's all they do, that's what they focus on, and they're and it's much less expensive
and
to have them do it than a doctor.
And they're very competent. Jim,
right.
Go ahead.
This is Jim. I wanted to respond to something that Jeff said, and that is that I agree that people should be focused on the practice that they're engaged in, and they should be absolutely competent in what they do. I think that there are enough unemployed or lawyers that want to help other people that if there was a body that would put them together with the people in need, that would be a best of all worlds for us. I think that to create a licensure for others is not necessary right now, and it would help the lawyers that are already licensed that aren't working or aren't working and making a decent income. I think that the State Bar could make training available to those people, mentoring. I also think that part of law school in the final year could create internships and law school practicums and work experience where the law students that have a good background and training in these particular fields could work in those fields to get the experience that they need to be good lawyers.
Yeah. You know, I wish I was as optimistic as you, Jim. I just think that if you look at the statistics, for example, in housing court, 90% of the tenants are unrepresented, and 34% of the landlords are unrepresented. And so there's clearly a market there for all these unemployed lawyers that you're referring to. They're not going there, and I don't think it's because they're not getting enough encouragement from the State Bar or enough training. It's because they don't see it as their, their life's calling, the kind of work that they would do, and I don't think they see it as providing enough compensation to pay for the kind of, the career that they've invested in.
Well, I think that's a rather arrogant view. I don't mean your view is arrogant, but I mean that lawyers who think that way would be having a very arrogant view of what they should be doing.
No, I mean, you have a three years of training, you're paying, hundreds of dollars a year for your licenses, and they're probably thinking, you know, this is not an area that I want to specialize in because I'd like to develop something which I think is more sustainable. Whereas if you haven't had to pay that much, and if this is an area that you're very interested in and you focused on, I think you could make a good living on it. But, you know, we're both trying to accomplish the same things. We're just making predictions about how people would behave and what's the best way to solve a real challenging problem.
Let me interrupt both of you for a couple of minutes, for a minute or so, before you start throwing more barbs at each other, okay?
Oh, no, there are no barbs.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. I've got the pleasure of three very significant persons on the program with me. We're talking about the State Bar of California and consumer protection and lawyers and providing greater access to justice and greater access to the courts. Two of my guests are former State Bar presidents. They were guests on the program in years past when they were president. Jeff Bleich, State Bar president from 2007 to 2008. He also, in the last 4 years, was the United States ambassador to Australia. He's now retired from that. He's back here in the Bay Area. My other guest, former State Bar President, is Jim Heiting. He was State Bar President from 2005 to 2006. And surprisingly, my third guest, who frankly is never at a loss for words, but she hasn't hardly said anything, is Alice O'Sullivan, former Chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, now a member of the Council of Past Chairs. She's a mediator and judge pro tem, and Alice is here, too.
Thank you. And I have to say that I'm enjoying this so much, but I truly agree with both Jim and Jeff and have a little anecdotal evidence of my own. I was a paralegal for a long time, and actually I didn't incur very many bills in law school because I did law office training, law office study, which is still available to people in California.
That's right.
And so I agree that paralegals are, you know, certainly are needed, are necessary, do a good job because they're usually focused on the area of law that they're interested in. So I think that's a great way to go. Now, being in more senior years, I am enjoying volunteering as a judge in the workers' compensation arena, which is my area of specialty. And I think it's a wonderful idea to have some sort of coordination by the state bar of those of us who have something to give, or in the case of underemployed people who, I mean, maybe they have a job that isn't really satisfying, and if they could even start part-time, if there was some sort of way to coordinate the efforts of senior lawyers, underemployed lawyers, and people who are working in the field of the law but haven't gone through all of the rigmarole you have to go through to be admitted to the bar, I think that's those are excellent ideas.
I can see why you're a good mediator, Alice.
Oh, she's good. No, Alice is very, very good. She's been very helpful to me on the program, and I'm very impressed with the way that she deals with issues and the way she has been involved with the Board of Legal Specialization and also the State Bar. And it's a great pleasure to have her assisting me on this program. What I want to mention, if you don't mind for just a moment, is that although this particular program is funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, additional funding bodies are the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trusts and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. I want to assure all of you out there that this is not a big budget program. It is not. It is not. It's a labor of love of mine, and I am incredibly appreciative of the various organizations that I have just mentioned that are so supportive of what we're doing to provide this kind of information to you. And for those of you who are listening to the program live in just a few minutes, I will give the local phone number, and you'll be able to call in with your question, comment, or whatever you'd like to have on the air with my guests. And whether you're in the Bay Area or whether you're listening to us on the internet, www.klw.org, you'll be able to call in, and I'll give that number. And for those of you who are wondering, when are you going to do the next Call a Lawyer night? Well, we're not going to do it on Thanksgiving Eve for obvious reasons. Yeah, for obvious reasons. I don't know who I'd get here on Thanksgiving Eve. So we're going to do it on July 20th, if you'd like. And the
I bet you mean November.
That's November. What did I say?
July.
July. How can? Oh my! Oh brother!
Yeah.
Pardon me. I meant November. Isn't that amazing? November 20th. Pardon me. November 20th. Is when we'll do the next Call a Lawyer night. That's 1-800-525-9917. You know, one of the things that Alice has suggested, and I'd like some comments from you if you would, is we do the Call a Lawyer and have done on this program usually the fourth Wednesday of the month for many, many years now. It's got to be probably 20 years at least. And this was something that the San Francisco Bar Association wanted me to do, and we've continued it and expanded it so that we have certified specialists on the panel, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and also members of the San Francisco Bar and San Mateo County Bar. But Alice has suggested that the State Bar consider making space available once a week or once a month or whatever for a type of Call a Lawyer, with attorneys making themselves available to give information as we do on the air. And I'm wondering what thoughts both of you, Jim and Jeff, have on the State Bar doing something like that. Now, that would be, I think, a big project to do, but I'm wondering what you think of it.
Well, you know, you and I talked about that back in 2005 or 6, whenever it was. This was Jim. And I thought it was a great idea then, and I think it's a great idea now. I think that any time we can develop better communication and make ourselves available to the public, it's a great thing.
And yeah. Jeff, do you have any ideas on this?
Well, you know, I'm always reluctant to commit resources of the bar now that I'm not bar president. It's always easy to tell State Bar, oh, you should spend money on this, you should do that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, if they have the resources, I think it's a very good investment. You know, I look at programs that they do in other areas, you know, doctors' programs where people can call in and get some basic advice. This is something not to worry about. This is something that you need to take to a physician. This could be, you know, one of three different conditions, and you probably want to get it checked out. That kind of advice is very helpful to people in terms of reducing their anxiety and telling them, you know, the best place for them to get the help they need. And I think it certainly is a great model for people who have legal needs and are looking for, you know, some kind of guidance. So I love the idea, but again, you know, whether it's a State Bar funding it or you know, law firms funding it or someone else funding it, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention that, you know, lawyers do give a lot in this area, and for the public especially, they should be aware that each county probably has legal clinics available, whether they're sponsored by the County Bar Association or private organizations. They have speakers, bureaus for your organizations to come out and speak. Lawyers also do things like mock trial and take students through the courts and get them acquainted with our justice system and the pipeline programs that we have to bring students up and make sure that they are better equipped to graduate. We in Riverside County, we have a thing called Project Graduate, which is for foster children connected with lawyers to put them together and encourage kids to go through school, mentor them a little bit, have the same rights as a parent, as a matter of fact, to talk to teachers and that sort of thing, and then try to get them graduated and on to college. So I want to say that while I think that this Call a Lawyer is a great idea, there are local bodies that you can avail yourself of that will do similar things. You just have to know where to go and who to call.
I think that's the ticket. How does one find out about these programs?
Well, you can call a local bar association. They'll know about those programs. They'll know which clinics are operating in their county and which are available both both as county bar clinics and private clinics, and they're free, by the way. They don't cost anything to go visit with a lawyer and discuss your legal problems and issues. So
I know that.
In fact, in one of the groups that you said was sponsoring this, Chuck, in San Francisco, the Lawyer Referral and Information Service (LRIS) does exactly that. You call in, and they tell you. Sometimes they just tell you this isn't a legal problem. Sometimes they say it is a legal problem, but you know you can handle it in a fairly simple way. And in other cases, they'll say, okay, this is one where you need a lawyer, and here's a panel of good lawyers who've been vetted by us who can help you with it.
So and they will set up certainly an appointment for someone for a half an hour consultation, but there is a charge usually of $35 for that, and that's pretty consistent throughout the state, I think, through the lawyer referral service.
That's true for lawyer referral service, but not for those clinics.
Yeah. Let me also mention something to you. I learned from the San Francisco Bar Association, which is one of the funders of this program, that it has a program with the public libraries throughout San Francisco where attorneys do come for a few hours every month or something like that, where the public can come in, no obligation whatsoever, and have a chance to sit down with an attorney.
Yeah.
And that is something that people, certainly in the San Francisco area, might want to call your local library and find out if it has such a thing. I'm sure that that's not unique to San Francisco, but that's something. Let me, before we end the statewide version of the program, which is going to end in a couple of minutes, what thoughts do you have on someone finding the right lawyer versus the wrong lawyer, if one can afford to actually pay for a lawyer? What thoughts do you have?
What does that mean, Chuck?
Well, I would. This is Jeff. I think anyone who is consulting a lawyer should understand this is one of the most intimate relationships you will have outside of family. In order to have a very productive relationship with your lawyer, you've got to be willing to tell them the absolute truth and reveal things that may be embarrassing, awkward, good facts and bad facts.
Which are confidential, of course.
They're all confidential, but it's important that you have that sense of trust. So I think I think more than anything, it's not like just going to the store and, these things are fungible. You really have to find a person who not only instills you with confidence about their abilities, but also someone who you feel comfortable with.
I agree with Jeff totally on that.
Jim, we have ended the statewide version of the program. We're going to pause right now, and I'll be back to you in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, thanks.
All right. It is 7:28, or actually 7:27 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program talking about the State Bar of California, consumer protection, increasing the access to courts and justice, a lot of issues. And one of the things that I'd like you to do, if this feels comfortable to you as the listener of this program, if you have had a question that you'd like to pose to my guests, if you've had a bad experience with the law and you feel you'd like to present this to two former State Bar presidents and also Alice O'Sullivan, I think it would be a benefit to all of us. If you have something positive to say, that's wonderful also. The number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. My guests are former State Bar presidents Jeff Bleich. Let me spell his name for you, Bleich. State Bar President from 2007 to 2008, United States Ambassador to Australia from 2009 to earlier this year. He is now retired from that position. My other guest is James Heiting, former State Bar President from 2005 to 2006, and a great person who's been incredibly helpful on my program in so many ways, both as a guest and also for Call a Lawyer, former chair of the Bar of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, Alice O'Sullivan. She's currently a member of the Council of Past Chairs of the Board of Legal Specialization. She's a mediator and judge pro tem. So I welcome your calls. Don't be bashful. And we have Steve. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Great program. Really interesting.
Well, thank you.
My father, who used to come here stay in San Francisco and was a big fan of this program when he was in town, passed away a couple years ago. So we're establishing through my sister, who's a member of the bar in a different state, a scholarship for the best essay from a student about small claims court.
Hmm.
My father was 4-1 in the small claims court. We would joke that if they had a frequent buyer coupon where you file 9 lawsuits and get the 10th one free. But as a big believer, not in filing ever a nuisance suit, but in the ability of the small person to fight a big corporation and really have their day in court. Does your panel think that this would be a good way to help promote this type of work?
Let me see if I can get some comments for you, Steve. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Take the answer on. Put your radio back on.
Great show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for calling. Who said yes?
Jeff. That's Jeff. Yeah. No, I think small claims court is very valuable, and it allows cases that really, in general, are not at a cost or value that will generally attract lawyers. To have an environment in which, they can present their cases. We see this on TV with Judge Judy and those sorts of court cases. And it, it does give people an opportunity to have their day in court and to get a judgment and to vindicate their rights. So I tend to favor that because, again, my view is that not every legal dispute is appropriate for a fully licensed lawyer. My view is that there are some cases where if we can find alternative ways of resolving this, we can allow more people to receive justice.
Yeah, I agree. This is Jim. I think that, you can't have a lawyer in small claims, so that's a given. But the increase in the limits of small claims has helped a great deal, too. So it makes it more practical for people to go to small claims, and they're able to get satisfaction on higher dollar amounts than they used to be able to do. And it is a good avenue, and it's quick, and it's pretty simple, and it's informal. So I think those are all good things.
What would you think about a commissioner who's not necessarily a member of the bar handling some of those cases so we could get the backlog going?
Well, this is Jim again. I feel the same way as I mentioned before about lawyers and underemployed lawyers, and that we could employ them to do things like that. But I don't have any problem, frankly, with a commissioner. There are many commissioners or arbitrators out there that are non-lawyers that arbitrate disputes in real estate and other areas, and I think that they serve a valuable purpose.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think you can have commissioners, you can have retired judges, you could have lawyers serving pro tem, but I think this is a great way to address the backlog. And again, the trends are not good in terms of court funding, in terms of increasing access to justice, particularly for people in lower incomes and the middle class. And so any innovations we can come up with to make it easier to access courtrooms and to get a decision is a good thing.
But on the other hand, this is Jim again, I don't want to advocate justice at a lower level than we should have in our state. The justice for our citizens should be at the highest plane and should be granted the respect and the due that any other branch of government is given. And I think that we need to really fight that these courts be rejuvenated and brought back to their gusto, that they can serve all of the clients and all of the people who come before it in a way that gives them real access to real justice, not some reduced amount of justice because we don't have the funding.
Yeah, no, and let me just be very clear. I don't think that pro tem judges or commissioners or anyone should be allowed to adjudicate cases if they are not fully qualified and competent. I just think there are a lot of people out there who are very good lawyers, very very knowledgeable about the law, have a great judicial temperament, don't want to be judges for their entire career, but would be willing to donate some of their time in order to address this backlog and would do an outstanding job. And so I agree. It should be high quality, but you can probably find a lot of people who would be able to assist with this effort.
Let me throw something out to you, if you don't mind, that came up last week when current State Bar President Luis Rodriguez was on the air with me. It was a question that came in here, and I was asked at the end of that program if I would present this to you, because I let the listeners know that both of you, and I wasn't sure if Alice was going to join us at that time, at this time or not at that point. But here's the question, and please, I'm serious about this, but whoever proposed the question was very serious about it also. Should consumers look to the State Bar for guidance when it comes to maintaining privacy in all respects in managing transactions and communications online? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, my answer would be no. The State Bar doesn't have the apparatus for that and isn't designated by the state laws or legislature for that to be part of its purview. So
well,
it doesn't have the ability or the authority to do it. But I do think that caller raised an important question, which is, consumers should be aware that those rights are protected, their privacy rights, and that there are institutions that exist for that. And those would be through the state departments, but not the State Bar.
Okay.
And through the legislative process. So that's where that should turn. Now, Jeff, let me ask you this. What do you think about, and Alice, too, what do you think about the idea of lawyers being more and more involved with Internet storage of files and Internet applications and exchanging information and legal briefs through the Internet, using the cloud, for example, for storage, especially with the recent controversy of people being able to view those things, certain agencies? Is that safe? Is that good practice?
Well, I think this actually draws on my time as ambassador as much as. Yeah, I know the clouds are very. I mean, look, there have been some hacking that has occurred in the private sector. In the public sector, U.S. clouds are very safe and secure, and they are both hardened against hacking and they're what are called atomized. It's once you get in, it's hard to get beyond a very, very small point, and you can't get into the entire cloud. So it's a very secure place, and it's if lawyers are going to do their job in the Internet age, they've got to be prepared to use cloud technology, which is, extraordinarily valuable. I think there are two things that lawyers need to be aware of. One is that lawyers, I think, always feel that whatever they put in writing is safe because we have, all these privileges, attorney-client privilege and work product privilege, but there's no privilege against people hacking into your system. So lawyers really need to invest in technologies that really secure their data and protect it against these sorts of intrusions. I think the second thing is that lawyers should be very thoughtful about maintaining, their system so that if there were a crash or if there's a problem, they're not going to lose very valuable data for their clients. So lawyers, I think today more than ever have a responsibility to invest in good online technology.
Well, are you saying, if I may, with all of the hassle that we have regarding the NSA, are you saying that there are ways of protecting things like this?
Oh, well, the NSA thing is just, that is not an issue. There's no allegation that the NSA has been snooping on legal files.
How do we know that, though, Jeff? How
well,
do we
you know?
Know,
I think that's the problem is because of the because of these allegations that are floating around. People love to spin out one theory after another. Well, maybe they are looking at me watching cat videos. but you know, if you really think about what our national security apparatus is doing, they are trying to find patterns of illegal or dangerous conduct among billions of mm-hmm. electronic signals.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are not enough people in the world to sit there and, you know, try and, you know, let alone in the in national security, to try and, you know, figure out if someone's, you know, sending a funny email or watching a video or writing a brief.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're looking at metadata and focusing in on sort of critical elements of security.
Could I ask both of you a couple of questions in terms of what you're doing now? Jeff, you became the ambassador to Australia in 2009. I presume that was a full-time job.
Yeah.
Or more than that.
I bet a little more than full-time.
Yeah, yeah. I bet your wife was not happy about that. Yeah.
Okay. I was special counsel to President Obama in the beginning of 2009, and then I was sent out, and I think I was credentialed by the Governor General in November 2009. And then I just came back a few weeks ago.
So what are you going to be doing now? In that you have retired.
You got a job for me, Chuck?
Yeah, no, I don't. Saying? But I'm wondering with your incredible career history so far, what are your plans if you have any at this point? You've retired as the United States Ambassador to Australia. You were a partner in a major law firm in San Francisco. I guess it was actually a national law firm, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do now?
Oh, well, you know, I think first I'm going to unpack the boxes that are that are coming across by sea.
Oh,
and then I think, the president's got, or the White House has a few ideas about things I might do. My wife's got some ideas about what I'm going to do. I'll let them duke it out for a while.
Did she leave the lawnmower out there for you to start getting used to it again?
Yeah, no. It's they say you know you're done being ambassador when you get in the back seat of the car.
Yeah,
and nothing happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right. So. Jim, I know that you are you specialize in personal injury prosecution. Do you not?
Yes, I do.
Representing plaintiffs.
Right.
And is that, are you doing that full time?
Yeah, my trial lawyer hat is pretty much full time, but I do a lot of other things. Let me tell you a few things.
Please.
Current chair of the Substance Use Disorders Advisory Committee to the Health Law Section of the American Bar Association.
Mm-hmm.
I was the West Coast Commissioner for the Lawyer Assistance Programs, overseeing 9 states for 3 years. So I gotten appointed by the president of the American Bar Association to 5 different terms of different areas of that. I also am the president, and this is an interesting splatter of interest. I'm the president of the Tennessee Walking Horse Association of California. I'm the president of the Riverside Lyric Opera Company.
Ooh.
Do you sing?
No.
No,
but
okay.
But I enjoy the singers, and so...
How fun.
I'm a chair of a local collaborative courts fundraising committee to assist the collaborative courts. Are you familiar with what collaborative courts
No,
are?
Tell us what that is, would you?
Those are courts that would be like the Veterans Court or the Drug Court or the Dependency Court in Family Law, where assistance goes to the clients or the people in front of the court that may have some issues with the law, and it assists them in finance and mentoring to become a success so that they become more productive. Well, they become productive members of society again, and it improves their outlook and capability of being good citizens. And so I'm doing that and just a whole bunch of other things that have to do with volunteer work. And
that's great.
Nonprofit boards, which I think are important for lawyers to do.
Then I take it with all of this stuff, you don't sleep many hours a night, huh?
No, and I wanted to tell you also, I haven't had a chance, but I want to tell you how honored I am to be on your program. I really appreciate your program. I think it's great what you've done for all these years, you and Alice both. And what an honor it is to be with Jeff. Jeff's a great guy and has been a great president. And when he was working for President Obama in the state and as an ambassador, he's been a great ambassador. So it's really an honor to be on with you guys.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Jim. Thank you.
No, and thank you, Jim. And the feeling is mutual. Jim was president before I was and is a great role model for me.
I find it amazing. I've been doing this program nearly 30 years, and I find to think that, Jim, you were up here something like, it's got to be 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, and Jeff, you were here, 4 or 5 years ago. It's just hard to believe the time is going by so quickly.
And we all stayed so young-looking.
I know.
It is amazing.
And that's what is really incredible about it.
And that's why it's good it's radio.
Yeah, thank God it's radio. I must say I have a great face for radio. I won't talk about either of the three of you. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, of course, during normal business hours. Hopefully you'll get a human being. I think you will. 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a lawyer referral service through the Bar Association. You can call your own during normal business hours. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area that you're having the problem in. They'll set you up for a half an hour consultation with a lawyer. And depending on the county, it could be for half an hour a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. That does not go to the lawyer. It goes to the lawyer referral service to fund what's going on. And Alice, what would you tell everybody who's listening on this segment of Your Legal Rights, how they might go about trying to find out who the certified specialist is in their area?
Well, if you go on to the State Bar website and you can Google California State Bar, go to the home page, and on the left side, you'll see something that says legal specialists. Click on that, and you'll go through the prompts. But there's a couple of things I did want to mention about.
Yeah.
We've talked over the years about the 11 areas of specialty that one can certify for in California. But there's something we haven't talked about very much, and I'd just like to mention that briefly now. The State Bar accredits other organizations so that attorneys may advertise as a certified legal specialist only if they are certified by the State Bar of California or if an organization is accredited by the State Bar to certify attorneys. Now, what's interesting about that is you had on your program a month or so ago a member of the National Board of Certified Legal Specialists. It used to be called the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And that was the first organization, I believe, that was accredited by the State Bar.
By our State Bar.
Yes, by California State Bar. But this National Board, they certify attorneys in civil law, criminal, family, and social security disability. But there's also a National Elder Foundation that certifies attorneys in elder law, and a National Association of Counsel for Children, which certifies attorneys who do juvenile law or child welfare law, an American Board of Professional Liability attorneys who do both legal and medical malpractice. Medical malpractice attorneys can be hard to find.
Yes, I understand.
And
that,
the American Board of Certification that actually does different bankruptcies, business bankruptcy, consumer bankruptcy. So those are areas when we were talking about how to avoid the wrong kind of lawyer. Well, I'm not saying that you know, there isn't a wrong kind of lawyer who may be a certified specialist, but your chances of getting a very good lawyer are better if they're certified specialists.
I agree with Alice, absolutely. This is Jim. I just wanted to point out there are two services that are out there that rate lawyers by their peers and by their clients, and that is Martindale Hubbell.
Mm.
Martindale Hubbell rates lawyers and their performances over the years, as well as a new service, or relatively new, called AVVO, A-V-V-O.
A-V-V-O. I've not heard of that.
Yeah, and they rate lawyers as well.
So really? Well, that's interesting.
So if people want to go to the local law library or get online and find Martindale Hubbell or AVVO, they'll find lawyers rated there.
Yeah.
Let me give the phone number. We have a few minutes left. If you have a question, a comment, want to join us on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to join my guests, Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the Board of Legal Specials of the State Bar, Jeff Bleich and Jim Heiting, former State Bar presidents. And Jeff is also retired recently from being the United States Ambassador to Australia. How much of your time, if I may, Jeff, when you were the ambassador, how much of your time did you actually live in Australia?
No, I was there full time. I lived in
really?
The embassy. And
no
I would come back on a regular basis. We had a lot of reasons why I needed to come back to the U.S. or travel to other parts of the Asia-Pacific region. But that was my home.
Was your family there with you?
Yeah, no, my family was there.
How
with
lovely.
Me. And I know you had family there, too. Your great-grandfather was the prime minister.
Well, he was. Billy Hughes was the prime minister, and he was apparently a very significant person.
He was the longest-serving member of the Australian Parliament.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is that right?
And apparently there's longevity in your...
maybe I have a chance to end up, huh? I've not been to Australia yet. Maybe that's the next major chapter in my life.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, what other thoughts do both of or the three of you have in the remaining few minutes that we have that you'd like the listeners to know about, if you do have something that we haven't even touched upon?
Yeah, no, I think that this has been a good program. I want to commend you again on doing it, Chuck. It gives people a chance, I think, not only to ask questions about their own legal situation, but to better understand the structure of the bar and to be able to reach out to the bar where it can be helpful or reach out to the legislature where it's the legislature's responsibility. But, you know, in the 4 years that I've been, outside of the United States and then come back, I'm a bit discouraged by the low level of funding for courts. They have fallen 30% since 2008. The increased number of litigants who cannot find or afford a lawyer, the backlogs in the courts, and you know we've got to get creative and start finding new ways to meet people's unmet legal needs.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If we had people resorting to being doctors for themselves, giving themselves their own shots and trying to cure their medical conditions, we'd be appalled.
It'd be pretty scary.
And yet, here we've got people who, you know, could lose their home, could lose their family, could lose their security, and have really no recourse. I think that's not our state. That's not our country. That's not our ethics. So we have some work to do.
Jeff's absolutely right, and we need to encourage our legislators in that way, too, so that the legislators are responsive to the needs of the people through the courts. And so I would encourage all the listeners to make sure the legislators realize how important those courts are. If you have delayed justice in the way of, for example, child custody, think of the damage that can be done in the way of business interests. When two partners dissolve a business and they have a dispute, the business goes down the drain if somebody doesn't help to resolve the issues. I mean, there's so much that we can do. I think that whatever we can do to engender a greater belief in the law, trust in law and lawyers, greater respect for our system, maybe focus on a truly independent judiciary so that we can make access to justice a reality for more and more people, you know, with the ultimate goal of being truly accessible to everyone in every instance. That's what we have to do. That needs to be our focus in every consideration.
Alice, I know you had something you wanted to say.
Well, I think that both of you make such good points, and I'm wondering how we could do more to ensure this independent judiciary that you talked about, and how we can get more people. It's always the It's always the poorer people who suffer from mm-hmm. delayed justice.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are more well-to-do mm-hmm. can always afford attorneys and somehow get what they need, whether it's through the courts or through some other method. But it's the people who are most in need who need this help. And I'm trying to. We've discussed a whole lot of ways here tonight, which I think is good. It's good to get people thinking about this. Do you have any final thoughts about how we can get this ball rolling? Is there anything the State Bar can do to get this ball rolling?
Oh, well, this is Jim. I'm a little more militant, I guess, than some. You know, I think that the State Bar and the courts need to demonstrate the need to the legislators. And I think that diplomacy and discussion is good, but when the legislators see the tremendous impact their inaction has caused to the general public and to individuals, they won't do anything unless they feel it and mm-hmm. they see it and they experience it. And so I think it's up to us to bring that to them somehow.
So the listeners of this program could be instrumental in doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me throw out one thing, if you don't mind, at the very end of our program, and it is, and by the way, for those of you who, aside from what Alice just mentioned to you, going to the Google Estate Bar and for legal specialists, one of the things that is I have found helpful to people is the statewide number for the Board of Legal Specialization is 415-538-2100 if you're looking for a certified specialist in your geographic area. 415-538-2100. But let me ask you this question, Jim and Jeff, if you don't mind, in the remaining couple of minutes. Your state barship was 1 year, 12 months. I have felt for many, many years that 12 months isn't enough time for someone to develop his or her programs that he or she would like to do. And I think we've only had, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've only had one woman who's been state bar president who actually was on the program three times here. But do you think 1 year is enough for a state bar president to try to get something going that he or she sees? Or do you think it might be beneficial if the state bar began to think about perhaps a presidency being 2 years, should someone who's state bar president afford to do that, since it's an unpaid job?
Did you want to go first, Jim?
Sure. Have you heard of lame duck, Chuck? I think that you get what you can accomplished, but certainly if you had an extended period of time to do that, you wouldn't have that lame duck attitude that you get sometimes. And staff can survive your presidency.
Oh, sure.
If it's a year.
Of course.
Know? And they can go on with life and ignore some of the things that you want to do during that year, at least to some extent.
How about you, Jeff? What thoughts do you have?
Having just done a 4-year job after, you know, doing 1 year as state bar president, I think a longer term gives you the ability to work on the bigger, more systemic issues. And one of the problems with a 1 year position is it encourages almost presidents to try and do a vanity project that can be accomplished in a matter of months as their legacy. And it takes the bar zigging and zagging from one little project to another, which is promptly abandoned by the next president who wants to have their own little mark on the wall.
Well, I hope the trustees of the state bar, and I hope that Luis Rodriguez is listening to what we're talking about. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. It's been a
pleasure. You have been great to be here. Former State Bar Presidents Jeff Bleich and Jim Heiting, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you. Yes, thank
and
you.
And Alice
thank
O'Sullivan,
you,
thank you very much for joining us.
Your legal thank you, rights, Alice. You're great.
She is great. She is great. Your legal rights production staff members are program engineer Joan Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by a number of other State Bar segments, as well as the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Next week, we are going to focus on employment law and the Americans with Disabilities Act issues in the workplace for those who may have some disability and who want to be treated fairly. So my guests are going to be employment law attorneys Brian Schwartz and John Hyland. Please join us then. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.